If you have God's word with you this morning, we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. As you're turning to it, let me just thank you for the invitation to come along and minister with you once again today. And it is our prayer that even as we come here today, that God himself will speak to our hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 9, we're just going to read a few verses from the end of this chapter and then a wee section out of chapter 10 also. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and the verse 25. It says, "And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him, and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. And thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met them, and the Spirit of God came upon them, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass that when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, What is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Let's just bow in a wee brief moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've already been thinking about your word. We thank you for this precious book. We thank you sincerely and afresh for the Word of God. And we would pray that even now as we come to look at these verses, that you will speak to us. We realize that we have been singing Jesus, all for Jesus. We've been singing about surrendering our hopes, our plans, our ambitions. We realize that words are easy to sing. It's something different to put them into practice. And we would pray that even now as we come to look at some verses out of this precious book, that you would use them not just to be simply words that we will hear, but that there will be words that are used to make an impact in our lives. We realize that this is going to be possible. We need the help of God, the Holy Spirit. May I know that help as I seek to look at these verses. May each one of us know that help as we seek to understand and to put them into practice in each of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's certain advantages in having a dad that's now retired. Dad, I'm going to be running a bit late from day. Could you lift the boys off the bus? Dad, we've got a phone call. The goats are out. Could you go and see if there's a hole in the fence? Dad, you know that wee job that we started 2 years ago? Well, we've never finished it. Any chance a wee day this week that maybe you could give me a hand? It's very useful, and so therefore when he gets a phone call, he never knows what's coming. Maybe that's the reason a couple of Friday nights ago I phoned him and I said, Dad, what are you doing tomorrow morning? I'm not just sure yet. And maybe he was guarding himself against what was coming. But it wasn't as bad as he thought, or maybe it was. We have a group of young people in the church, an older group of young people, and once a month on a Saturday night, we go out and do something social with them. We try to make it as varied as possible. And a couple of Saturday nights ago, we had decided that we were going to cycle from Jordanstown to the Civic Centre here in Lisburn. And there was a wee bit of the route that I wasn't sure of through the city centre. So I said to Dad, do you fancy getting on the train tomorrow morning? We'll take the bikes and we'll go to Jordanstown and we'll try it out. He eventually agreed to it. And we were coming through Belfast city centre that Saturday morning, just coming down past the waterfront. And I could hear Dad laughing, and I says to him, what are you laughing at? He says, well, if a week ago somebody had told me that I was going to be cycling through Belfast this morning, he says, I would have told them to go and get their head examined. He said, I never could have imagined it. You see, it was Harold Wilson, former Prime Minister, who said, a week is a long time in politics. And listen, a week's not just a long time in politics. A week is a long time, or it can be a long time in the life of anyone. You know, many of us have been able to look back at our lives and have been able to look back at a particular week. And maybe the events of that week have been so numerous, or maybe they have been so shocking and so startling that we can hardly imagine the change that has happened in a week. You know, maybe it's been good news. Maybe someone that's been unemployed has got news of a job. Maybe it's the reverse. Within a week, someone that we've known and loved has passed into eternity and has been buried and no longer with us. What a difference a week can make. And listen, what a difference a week made in the life of this man that we have been reading about this morning, the man called Saul. At the start of the week, what was he? He was a farmer's son. But by the time the week had passed by, here was the man who was going to be the first king of the land of Israel. At the start of the week, his name was virtually unknown. There was hardly a person in Israel, apart from perhaps in his local area, who would have known who Saul was. And yet within a week, he was going to become the guy whose name would be on the lips of every person in Israel. Within a week, a prophet in the land of Israel, a man that he had never met before, would become one of his greatest friends, one of his greatest advisors, one of his greatest confidants. And in these verses that we have read together this morning, we have one of the first conversations that took place between these two individuals. The conversation that took place between Saul and Samuel. I want just to focus our attention this morning, if we have time, perhaps we won't, but if we have time, we'll get into exactly what was said in chapter 10. But I want to focus your thoughts this morning mainly around the end of verse 27. where Samuel comes along to Saul, and here's what he says to him. He says, "Stand thou still. Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." I want just to take a moment or two to think about the background. You know, what were the events that were taking place as a backdrop to Samuel saying this to Saul? And I believe when we think about the background, there's a number of lessons that maybe we can learn, lessons that we can take and lessons that we can apply to our own life. And the first lesson is this: we need to be careful about the things that we tolerate in our lives. We need to be careful about the things we tolerate in our lives. If you have your Bible there open, turn back to chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8, and you'll see how this whole scenario started to unfold. In verse 1, it says, "It came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel." Verse 3, "And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment." Verse 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." We haven't time to explain it this morning, but I believe very clearly that it wasn't the will of God for the nation of Israel to have a king at that particular point in their history. But yet somehow or other, they developed this desire for a king. And we can ask the question, who was to blame? Well, you could say the elders of Israel were responsible because they were the guys that came and asked for the king. We could put the blame at all different types of people's feet. But listen, if you come back to chapter 8 and these verses we have read, you'll see there was something that Samuel tolerated that he should never have allowed to happen. Now listen, let me make it very clear. Things obviously went wrong in Samuel's family. And his boys weren't living the lives that they were supposed to be living. And listen, that can happen in absolutely any family. So I'm not condemning Saul or Samuel for that. But listen, the point was this. Samuel had put these boys into a position of authority. He had put them into a position in the work of God. And they weren't living their lives the way they should have been living. And that's how this whole event unfolded. Because Samuel was able to tolerate things that he shouldn't have been. And so we asked the question this morning to ourselves. And listen, this is not something that I can speak of for you, and it's not something that you can speak of for me. But brethren and sisters, it is very possible that you and I, as God's children, we can get to that point in our Christian experience after a period of time where we start to tolerate things in our lives that we ought not to tolerate. Maybe there's a need for us this morning as God's children just to stop and to take stock of our lives and to ask ourselves the question, where exactly are we in our spiritual experience? Are there things that we took a stand on perhaps a year ago, perhaps 5 years ago? Are there things that we held as a matter of principle in time gone by? And listen, over the years, the line of demarcation has been eroded, and we have got to the point where if we honestly look into our hearts, we say, listen, there's things in our lives, things that we are allowing, things that we are living with, things that we are tolerating, and if we examine our heart of hearts, we know those things are wrong. Listen, the consequences here, the consequences here were terrible for the nation of Israel. And let us not think that those consequences will be any less for us. Let us be careful about the things that we tolerate in our lives. But listen, something else, and that is, let us be cautious. Let us be cautious about the things that we desire in our lives. You see, what was happening here, the children of Israel were looking around and they were seeing the other nations and they were seeing the fact that they had a king. And you know what started to happen? They said, well, that's how we want to live our lives. We want a king for ourselves. And yes, we know we're God's children and we know we're God's people. But listen, our desire more than anything else is we want to have a king to rule over us. You know, it's interesting. Victor read the psalm there this morning at the start of the service about how basically God gave the people over to their own desires, gave them over to what they want because they wouldn't heed to his way. And that's exactly what happened here in this particular time. As I've said, it wasn't God's will that they should have a king at this time, but so much had they their hearts set on it that God said, okay, go with it. Have your king. And it was to turn out to be a disaster. Listen, I wonder, are we here this morning? Maybe as we look around at people in the world, you know, we're a bit like the children of Israel. We say, listen, they've got things and they're able to do things that we can't do. Let me say a word in passing to the young people this morning. You know, it's very hard, isn't it? You go to school and your unsafe friends are going to this place and to that place at the weekend. And in your heart, you would say, I would love to be able to go with them. I would love to go to the places that they go to. And so you're desiring things that God wouldn't have you desire. Maybe there's a young person here this morning and you're a child of God. Maybe there's a boy or maybe there's a girl that you have a notion of. Maybe someone that you fancy and you would love to go out with that person. And perhaps you're at the very point of starting a relationship with that person. You're desiring something that God wouldn't want you to have. And listen, the danger is if you desire it hard enough and if you push it far enough that maybe God will say, okay, go ahead. But there's a price to be paid. Careful about the things we tolerate, cautious about the things that we desire. But listen, we also need to be conscious of the things that happen in our lives. Our time is very quickly racing by here this morning, but let me quickly just tell you what the story was. Here was Saul, and God had a wonderful plan for his life. Something happens, something that Saul probably didn't really like. Here he was, and there's a couple of the asses, a couple of the donkeys get lost. And there he is, and he's out searching for them day and night, trying to find them. And perhaps he's given off, and perhaps he's grumbling, and perhaps he's moaning and complaining and saying, what on earth am I doing here, out searching after two or three silly owl donkeys? And he can't find them, and they've searched, and eventually the whole thing brings around that they go to the city to see the prophet to discover if they can see where the donkeys are. And as they do that, God's plan starts to unfold. You see, God has a perfect set of circumstances. God has a timing that's allowing this whole event to fall into place, to let the jigsaw come together as one picture. You see, even the little things that happen in our lives, God has a purpose in them. I wonder, is there someone here this morning? And maybe life at the minute is a bit tough. You know, maybe something has happened and you're asking yourself the question, why has this happened to me? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this struggle? I see others around me and they don't have the problems that I have. They don't have the difficulties that I have. And here I am and this is really getting to me. And I'm asking myself the question, what is going on in my life? Listen, child of God, I want to encourage you this morning because the message is very simple. If you are God's child, he tells us that all things work together for good to those that know and love him. And so listen, no matter what your difficulty is, no matter what your struggle is, and we all have those struggles from time to time, no matter what it is, let me encourage you this morning by saying, listen, God is in control. God has a plan for your life. And even those things that you can't understand, even those things that are maybe at this very minute getting under your skin, maybe those things that are getting you down, and let's be real about this. You know, somehow or other, I think that we have got into this perception now that, you know, God's people are meant to be, you know, continually floating in air. And they never have problems and they never have difficulties. And, you know, it's almost regarded as being a sin if we allow ourselves to get down. Listen, there's plenty of examples in the scripture of children of God. You think even, for example, of Elijah and how he got to that point where he was dejected and depressed and distressed. It can happen to all of us. But listen, take courage this morning and take encouragement that if you're in that position this morning, God has a plan, God has a purpose, God is in control. We were thinking here about the background, but let me bring you a bit closer to the end of chapter 9. And I want you to think about the instruction. Verse 27. As they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee a word of God, the word of God." You know, when I read that instruction, the first thing that strikes me is this, and that is God had a message. God had a message for Saul. God had something specific, something individual, something direct, something exceptionally relevant to say to Saul at that particular point in his life. Child of God, we've already been thinking about it this morning with the boys and girls, but we have in our hands this morning a precious book. It is the Word of God. It is the only book that God has given. And listen, as I read, God speaks to me. Do you believe that? I mean, let's even examine ourselves this morning and let's be truthful in our own hearts. Why are we really here this morning? You know, it's so easy to get into the routine of life, and I'm sure that your life is as busy as my life. And you know, the week almost seems to go by in a blur, and before we realize it, you know, it's Sunday morning, and yes, it's the chance to have a bit of a lie in, and we roll out of bed and we come to God's house. Why? So easy to do it just because it's part of the routine. So easy just to do it because it's what we do every other Sunday morning. But listen, child of God, we need to get back to the point where we realize that God has a purpose and a plan in our lives. God has a will to show us. God has a word to say to us. And part of his way of revealing that word is when we read this book and when we come to the place where God's word is proclaimed. Let me ask you a very direct question. I ask the question to myself as well. And I can get away with being direct because I'm not asking you to answer the question publicly. I'm asking you to answer the question in the privacy of your own heart. I mean, how did you come to God's house this morning? Did you honestly? And I'm not finger pointing because I'm asking myself the question this morning. So maybe instead of saying, did you, maybe I should say, did we? Did we? Did we honestly come to God's house today with the belief that God had a message for us? Something specific, something individual, that God, who knows what's lying ahead of us in this week that lies ahead, that God had something directly relevant to say to us for the week that lies ahead. Listen, my time is almost gone, but listen, before I finish, there's something else that I must point out to you, because when we come here to verse 27, not only do we discover that God had something to say to Samuel, or to Saul, but we also discover that there were certain things that he had to do if he was going to hear that word. Look again at verse 27. He says, "Bid the servant pass on before us." Bid the servant pass on before us. Now, I fully admit I'm entering into the field of speculation, but probably there was many servants in Saul's house. But I would presume that this was a favorite servant. I would believe that this was one of the servants that Saul was close to. And listen, you know, they'd been away 2 or 3 days searching for these donkeys. I knew they'd spent time together, and I'm sure they had chatted together. You know how it is if you're away with people for a couple of days. We were away, a number of our young people were away in Scotland there a few weeks ago helping out at a camp. And, you know, those of us who are away, we got to know each other a little bit better, because when you spend time, that's how it is. And so here was this servant that he was close to. Here was a servant, and from what we read, he was a very spiritual guy. He was the one that directed Saul to the prophet. And so here's one who's able to advise him on spiritual matters. Here's a good person to have as a friend. Here's a good person to have as a spiritual mentor. And yet there comes that point when Samuel says to Saul, listen, bid the servant pass on. What he's really saying to Saul is this, listen, you need to get alone. You need to put away every distraction. You need to set away everything that would take your mind off what you're about to hear. Get alone. And the other thing that he says to him there is, stand thou still. Stand thou still. Child of God, how do I... For the sake of time, how do I summarize this? How do I crystallize it? Well, let me ask it like this. How's your quiet time? How's your quiet time? That time when we put away all the distractions. That time when we bid everything else pass on. That time when we force ourselves, the busyness of life, we do actually have to force ourselves sometimes to stand still. How's our quiet time? If we had time, we could have went into chapter 10. We could have seen the things that Samuel said to Saul. There were situations that Saul was going to come across. And because he took the time to stand still, you see, he had to make that decision. And because he made the decision, because he took the time to stand still, he was warned about things that were going to happen. He was given information about things that he was going to encounter in the days that lay ahead. If he hadn't have stood still and listened, he would never have got that information. But listen, let me pick out as I close two phrases that we read in the chapter. And that is, after he left, after he heard the word of God, it said he was turned into a different man. And it also says that the people who knew him beforehand, they were able to see the difference in his life. As we close this morning, let me simply say this to you. Listen, we're going to encounter many things this week, this month. If we want to be best prepared for everything that we're going to encounter, let's make sure we have the quiet time. Do we want people around us to see that God is with us? Do we want our hearts and our lives to be changed? Do we want them to notice that there's something different about us? Well, then again, it only happens after we take time to put away the distractions and stand still and to hear what God has to say to us. Listen, on reflection, and I need this message as much and perhaps more than anybody else, on reflection, seeing as this book is so important, and seeing as what God wants to say to us through it is so relevant, can we really afford to miss out? Can we really afford? What did it say? At the spring of the day, they heard the word of the God. Can we really afford to be so rushed in the morning that we can't take time to spend in God's word? I trust that even these few thoughts will be a blessing to your heart this morning.